Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 222, recorded on Sunday, May 19th, 2019. I am here with Eric. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing horribly. As we are recording right now, I am chatting with AT&T's tech support regarding a DirecTV issue and have been for 20 minutes, and they are literally being zero help at all. In fact, it's now to the point where they're telling me it's not a problem. We can't help you with authenticating with the various iOS apps you have for DirecTV. Contact someone else. And I'm saying, but you handle the authentication.
Yeah, that's your job, right?
Right.
Oh, that's frustrating. And of course, it's only the night of Game of Thrones finale, and you're trying to get
to see that. Watching it work on my lunch break, but so I don't get spoiled on the internet by the time I get home.
Well, I'm still in the middle of season 5, so good
luck for me. I mean, you kind of shot yourself in the foot there.
Oh, yeah, I did. I know. I'm not blaming anybody but myself on that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I am confident I'll be caught up by next week. I was beginning of season 4 last week when we recorded. I'm middle of season 5 right now. I wish I had more time to watch it more, but I'm trying to get through this and hoping by next week, latest the week after, I'll be up to date. So
good. Good.
I'm excited. It's been good. It's been fun. I mean, we talked before. You wanted to talk to me about how I've been enjoying the binging of it, watching it all seamlessly.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoy it. I think it's really, you know, it works as a series, working episode after episode or episode without those big breaks between seasons, because there's really not long time frames between the seasons, you know, chronologically in the story, right? I mean, it's pretty much just happening consecutively. So it's nice to get that as it comes around.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of controversy about this last season. That kind of harkens back a lot to what's been going on with the Star Wars fandom, which really kind of made me smile in a very
me too. In fact,
vindictive.
I think it was Will Wheaton earlier this week, or maybe towards the end of the week, had posted. It was like on Thursday or Friday. I'm already disappointed by Sunday's finale. I was like, that's awesome. A preemptive. I'm already disappointed.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, what have you been up to watching? Wise besides getting ready for Game of Thrones or what you can watch.
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to talk about the controversy after Game of Thrones is over. But I really kind of feel like this whole Game of Thrones thing, what I've been watching is all of the complaints about Game of Thrones on the internet. And it's just like people can't get past not getting things the way they want. And when you've got this, I won't get into any spoilers here, so don't worry. But when you've got the fan base all speculating about who's going to sit on the throne, anybody who doesn't get their pick is going to be disappointed and say, well, that's shoddy writing.
Right.
Any changes to any of the characters, they're going to say, well, that's out of character because it's too late in the season. The one thing I will say is that the last season feels very cramped, a bit rushed, but not any more than a lot of other shows that go through something like this. I mean, it's really not out of the ordinary for us for watching television. So like I'm looking at these complaints and I'm like, really? So there's been a petition to have HBO remake the final season of Game of Thrones.
That's ridiculous. That is just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've seen this before. I mean, they said,
Last Jedi.
Petition to stop The Last Jedi, make it not canon. I'm like, come on. What are you complaining about? I mean, I just don't get this.
Yeah.
I'm so frustrated with the complaint level of everything out there on the internet these days. It's just, like you said, if it doesn't go the way you want it to, you're going to complain about it. And so much so that you're going to start a change.org petition, or you're going to just, you know, go out on the internet and spout your views, which is fine. Everybody has their own views on things. But I mean, we need to relax a little bit when it comes to what we like and don't like, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other thing I've been watching a lot is, well, I've been trying to catch up a little bit on the Orville. We've talked about that in past episodes, but I finished.
Have you watched any more? I know Tim's not here. We shouldn't go into that, but
I watched the two-parter.
Okay.
Which didn't impress me that much.
This was the two-parter where they go to the planet of what's his name?
Right. Again, trying to be a little bit spoiler free, but Yeah, and there's a counterattack, shall we say, on a large scale.
Okay. Yeah, very large scale.
Yeah, that one. I found the story interesting. I found the dialogue very high schoolish, not as far as like fart jokes, but I mean like some AP English students could have written this in high school. And then some of the acting by some of the characters, the lines were delivered. Like, I get that the show is trying to be Next Generation, and I appreciate that. I'm a Next Generation fan, and I'm an Orville fan, and I like the show. I'm not trying to say I don't like the show. I'm continuing to watch it. It's good, but it is hearkening so much back to the Next Generation that it feels like you're getting that 1990s style of acting as well as storytelling. And there were some lines in there, like, you know, when the doctor's like, "Didn't I mean anything to you?" It's like, nobody would ever say that ever in the history of ever in that situation for real. And even the captain had some lines that is like, oh my gosh, who wrote this? But the story itself was okay and horribly predictable. That's the other thing. Up until the very end, like there's one major event that happens that's kind of the turning point in the episode that I think I even put in Discord. Like when I was a third of the way through the first part of the two-parter, I said, like, if they do this, I'm done. I'm going to rage quit the show. Because it's been done all the time. Anytime there is an AI storyline, this one thing always happens, and it's exactly the one thing that was the pivotal moment in the two-parter. Now, fortunately, it wasn't also the climax of the two-parter. They did go on and do something beyond that. So that was okay.
Yeah, but, I hear you, but you're right. I mean, there are some predictable parts about it, and I've come to appreciate the show more this season than I did first season. First season, I thought it was too much like, you know, it's like, okay, we did the Next Generation back in the 90s, and we don't want to do it again. But this season's been, it's almost like they found their own footing. They found their own voice for the show, which is close to the Next Generation, but it's still their own.
But the last few episodes, I feel, have been bad episodes, and it's okay. It doesn't mean I'm going to quit a show, an otherwise good show for bad episodes. You and I both like Babylon 5. Babylon 5 has some stinkers that are so much worse than anything on the Orville.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But, and also I'm still not the new security chief. I don't like as well as the old one.
Yeah, I really like the old one too.
I just,
the new one's growing on me more and more. I'm getting used to her, but the old one was really good. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, I'm not connecting with this one at all. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's the character development or lack thereof, or I don't know. Anyway, I'm on the episode. I'm halfway through the episode following that one. And it's okay. It's just, it to me, it's really becoming something that's less about me looking forward to it, more like, oh, I just need something mindless to watch. So I'm going to watch this.
I hear you.
Now, one thing I'm really excited about is Dead to Me. I think I mentioned before that I started watching it. I think episode 2 at the time. I just finished the season. I think it's 10 episodes. It did get renewed for Netflix for a second season. I love this show. It is really, really good. I'm sure it's not for everybody, but I liked the plot twists. And then right when you think, okay, I get what they're going to do here, they go in a different direction. And it's not super mind-bending M. Night Shyamalan plot twists. Like, it doesn't change the course of human history and all that. But, like, it's things you don't see coming.
Okay.
And there are a few times where the writers seem to paint themselves into a corner and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, you're just not going to come out of this. And then they totally do. The acting is great. Christina Applegate does a wonderful job. Linda Cardellini, though, she steals this series.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what, a standard 10 episode thing?
10 episodes. It's a Netflix original. It released maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I watched the trailer and it looked okay. And then toward the end of the trailer, I'm like, oh, there's a whole different layer of something going on here. Okay, I'm bored. Cool. I'm looking for something new. I'll watch an episode or two. And by the end of the first episode, I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, that is so where I was hoping they would go with this. I want to watch a second episode. And then by the second episode, I was hooked.
Cool.
So I highly recommend watching it.
I'll have to add that to my ever-growing list of things I need to catch up on.
It is very good. It looks very much like it's a two widowed women bonding kind of a drama series. It is not that at all. It is not.
Okay.
Like, that's the first maybe 15, 20 minutes of the first episode. And then it's not that.
So is it thriller? Is it mystery? Is it?
It's more mystery. It's more
like a whodunit type thing. So, yeah, I read the synopsis.
Yeah, it's hard because it's not even a whodunit because you know who does it. Christina Applegate's the main character, and she loses her husband in a pedestrian car accident. And she meets Linda Cardellini at this support group for people who've lost somebody and are going through and trying to grieve. And, but early on in the series, it might even be in the first episode, you discover who the killer is. And a lot of the story is shown through the killer's point of view. And it's very much not a traditional killer like we're used to seeing in fiction. And I found it really interesting. And then the interactions between all of the characters were very complicated. And so it's like, it's a mystery whodunit, except it's not so much a mystery about whodunit because you know whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a mystery about, is she going to figure out who did it and how are all of these characters going to get through all of this? And then it turns out there are additional layers of things going on that you try to figure out what the situation is. It's one of those things where it's so hard to talk about without giving any spoilers.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I would recommend it. And you know, if you get through the second or third episode and it's not clicking with you, it's not going to, like, then it's not for you. But if
good to know.
You know, by the second episode, you should either be hooked or not. But I was hooked.
Nice. What about you? I've been doing my normal TV stuff. I've done, finished Arrow. That was the season finale or series finale of that.
I'm so far behind on that.
Yep. Caught up on, I'm still getting caught up on Supergirl. I think I'm one episode behind. I'm a couple of episodes behind on the other CW stuff, but I've been trying to catch up on Game of Thrones. So everything else has been taking a back seat to that. So I've been doing a lot of Game of Thrones at home. But I did get out to the movies this past weekend. I got to see John Wick 3. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a good continuation of that story, I should say.
Okay.
It picks up right where number two left off, and he's got to kind of go with the story, and a lot of death, a lot of gunshots,
it is a John Wick movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. No, it was really well done. The choreography was great. I feel like I need to see it again though, because I think I spent too much time, looking at the murder porn and not really following the story as well as I could. I'm like, what happened there? I'm like, I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, between that and the guy next to me, it was snoring through the entire movie. Like,
oh, wonderful.
Sawing logs like you wouldn't believe. I've had bad luck the last couple of movies because I've had talkers, I've had reactionary people next to me. And this night I had literally 5 minutes in, he starts sawing wood like, I was like, is that a bear in the theater? And he's right next to me, and his girlfriend kept waking him up, and he would literally start snoring within 30 seconds of her waking him up. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, see, that's one of the nice things about going to the Alamo theaters is because you can place an order for food or drinks.
And you would say that. I was thinking, I wish I had that capability right now. Yeah, I'd text somebody or do something like, this is ridiculous. Oh,
so you can write on a piece of paper, the guy next to me is snoring over and over and over again. And every time he gets woken up, he goes right back to sleep. Can you please make it stop? And they will give the guy one warning. And then if he does it again, he'll be escorted out.
It was ridiculous. It was funny because at one point in the movie, Angelica Houston's character I think she yells at like stopped whatever was going on, and the entire action frozen screen. This movie got completely quiet, and this guy goes, snore.
"Oh, like, that's great!" Oh,
and the whole theater laughed. It was a scare. I was like, oh. But he's sitting right next to me. He couldn't be like two rows back, right next to me.
No, of course not.
Oh god. So,
wow.
So yeah, I feel like I need to see it again just for those couple reasons. But yeah, I'm happy with it. It was an awesome movie. Good stuff going on. Yeah, you definitely got to see it, Eric. Definitely.
Good. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I'm hoping. So my job situation, I've talked about this before in the podcast a bit. My hours suck a lot. And I work six nights a week, so it's hard for me to get out to see anything anymore. I may have a new job coming up soon that would rectify both. Hopefully the money a little bit, and then also the schedule. So I might be able to get to go see movies more often, but I am going on a contract job with Tim, in fact, later this week. And I'm hoping that maybe after the job is done for the day and we go hang out in the evening, maybe we will get to go see John Wick.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
He's a big John Wick fan too. It'd be awesome.
Yes. Even if he has seen it by then, I'm sure he'd be willing to see it again.
I'm sure he will, because even if he doesn't need to see it with him, it's the only time he sees it. I'll be able to talk to him about it when I go out to see him this coming weekend.
Well, there you go. See, you should help me convince him that we need to go see it.
I will. So you guys are meeting up Thursday night?
It'll be Thursday night. Now, the only other competition it has for me, and honestly, I don't think this is competition, but I really want to see Brightburn really, really, really badly.
Me too.
It comes out Friday, but Friday's the day I'm coming back. And in order to take this contract job, my regular job, I've shifted my days off around so much that I'm not going to have any other opportunities to see a movie for like another week or two. But I really want to see Brightburn badly. I mean,
it looks awesome.
It's Superman, but as a horror movie where Superman as a kid is not psychotic, but just bullied and is retaliating. And it's produced by James Gunn. Now, we talked about this a few episodes back, and Tim corrected me that the two Gunn brothers who wrote and directed it are not related to James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy. It turns out, as he found, and he came to me and said that he was incorrect. And it is produced by James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy, and they are all three of them brothers. So.
Oh.
Yeah,
I knew James Gunn was doing the producing on it. I didn't realize it was Gunn Brothers writing it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no,
cool.
This is a family affair, so to speak.
Nice. The trailers look awesome for it. And if you're at all ice squeamish, there is that one ice scene that they're showing in the trailers.
I've not seen the most recent one, and apparently it's got something like that. There is almost nothing I will avert my eyes to while watching a movie. And I am very ice squeamish. So
there's a scene in this that they've actually played in a Red Band trailer this past trailer that came out.
Yeah.
Makes it look really, really bad. You know, like,
is it graphic? It's not something where they cut away at the last second.
It's pretty graphic. It's
okay.
She gets shards of glass in her eye and it's her pulling it out. It's just,
it's not right in the lens though. It's off to the side in the sclera of the eye, the white part.
I didn't look that closely because I couldn't, but it was just really rough.
Okay.
And it was one of the things where it stuck so bad, she had to pull it out and had to pull it out again. You know, it's like,
wow. So they really were gratuitous with the,
Exactly.
just the impact, but the gruesome trying to extract it sort of thing. Okay. Yeah.
But I think hopefully it's just a quick little glimpse and the rest of it you can just kind of go with, because they also showed some of that scene in that trailer from her perspective. And she can see out of one eye really, really kind of poorly. And there's some blood in the vision. And it's like, oh, okay. That really adds to the sequence. But yeah.
That part doesn't bother me that much as far as squeamishness.
No, it's the actual.
The removal of. The,
right.
Now, they say, just medically speaking, the eye heals faster than any other part of the body.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a little bit of trivia for you that should make you feel that much better for the lunch lady, because I'm sure she's going to be fine in the long run and not at all dead by the end of that scene.
She'll be fine.
She'll go on to live a long, happy life.
I'll also give you this little tidbit, too. There is, and I had to, my wife is a very ice squeamish person, as I said. And during John Wick, I was like, okay, look away.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay, you can look back now. Yeah, there was a pretty rough scene, but.
Is it as bad as the Brightburn trailer scene? If you have to think about it, then
pretty close. Yeah, maybe not quite as bad, but pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. So just be aware. It's in the first half hour or so.
All right.
Okay. Well, speaking of the first half hour, let's move on with the rest of our show here. Box office updates this week. No surprise, John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum is in number one spot with $57 million.
Very nice.
Yeah, it did its job. It took out Avengers for number one spot.
And unlike a lot of other movies, it beat out both its first and second film for a part three sequel. That's really impressive. A lot of movies
there was a lot more advertising to this movie than I thought for the first two. The first one, I mean, I didn't even know about it. I think you and Nathan were looking at that. We were recording a show and you say, hey, you got to watch this for tonight's episode. I'm like, what is it?
Yeah.
And I loved it when I saw it, but yeah, now, surprising.
The second one I think was up at some pretty big competition at the box office though. I think it was the Lego movie. And one other. So I think it opened at number three.
Okay. The opening for John Wick 1 was only $14 million. 2 was $30 million. This was $57 million. So, wow.
Yeah.
Pretty big step up.
Almost twice as impressive. Much.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, yeah.
I think so it deserves it.
By these
there's a lot
numbers,
more advertising for this week. For this
doubling each week, it means that John Wick Chapter 4 should bring in a little under $120 million.
Are you saying there's number four coming?
I'm just saying that if it's going to keep doubling each time they release a movie, they better keep releasing movies.
That's right. They should. Well, I think they will. I mean, given the dollars it's bringing in, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Endgame did hold on to the number two spot this week, made $29 million more, bringing its total to $770 million, I think it was.
I don't know. According to this,
I know. You don't have to call me out on that.
But calling you out on typos is fun. Well, I don't know. This movie's doing so well that this could really not be a typo. I don't know. Maybe it has cost $770.8 million,
not $7 billion.
Hey, for 4 weeks, bringing in $750 million domestically in
that's
4 weeks.
Weeks. That's really impressive. Where is it compared to Avatar? Oh, you know, it's only 100 million behind Avatar worldwide.
Worldwide?
Yeah, Avatar is 2.788 and Endgame is 2.614.
Oh, that'll make it in probably a couple of weeks, probably.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, it'd be nice. I hope it does.
It's the biggest non-Chinese movie in China ever. And China has a big box office. So between the U.S. and China, I don't imagine. See, normally there's kind of a half-life at the box office. You open it whatever you open at. The next week you're going to drop, not literally 50%, but, you know, it's easier to do the math.
Pretty
close. Just think of it as every week you're in the box office, you're going to drop by about half. It's more typically like maybe 40% or so. And then the longer you're in the box office, the more it drops off by. But Endgame is not doing too well, and I don't see it dropping off a whole lot between week 4 and 5 and then week 5 to 6.
Yeah, let's see, it's looking at its weekly gross, and I think this is just domestic. Yeah, just domestically. Made 473 in the first week, made 186 in the second week, and it made 80 in the third week.
Okay.
So it's dropping about 60% per week, 60-55%.
But when you're super big in the first week, then it does drop a lot in the first week or two. But then because word of mouth is so good, the kind of curves out. And the longer it can stay in, the less it's going to drop each week at that point. So now that we've gotten past those initial numbers, I don't see it dropping a lot over probably the next three weeks or so. I'm going to say that for it to hit, well, what comes out this week? Oh, Aladdin comes out this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, Aladdin, Brightburn, Godzilla, Ma, and Rocket Man all come out this week.
Oh, Godzilla too. Okay, I was going to say it would probably take 2 weeks to hit like 12 or 13 million, but it could hit 13 million this week. Okay, well, I retract what I said. Never mind.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're right. A lot of it depends on competition, what else is out there, similar movies.
Yeah.
I think this still has its own draw, though. So,
can you imagine if they had released this, like, I don't know, last December or something instead? Like when there's nothing else in the box office? I mean, you can't do it this December because of Star Wars, but, or maybe like Thanksgiving.
Yep. Yep. But it's got its own draw, though. I think it's like its own gravity to it. I mean, it's its own thing. It's going to draw its own people in no matter what. And I think this is kind of like the equivalent of the Game of Thrones thing. It's like everybody wants to see it now. Everybody wants to see Endgame because it's the end of an era, the end of a set of movies.
But you will get people who want to see it a second or third time in the theater, and many people are, but who are not going to now because they want to take that money and see something they haven't seen yet.
True.
So, I forgot to mention, I mentioned it in Discord. I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast. I got to see Captain Marvel.
Did you finally? Good. Yeah. I don't know if we did on the show or not, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And I got invited to be on an episode of Guardians of the MCU and I couldn't make it, which is really upsetting because I was going to trash the hell out of that movie.
You got an invite? I haven't been invited yet.
I know. Well, you got to pay them to get the invite. There's like a whole system involved. You know how Tim is.
Maybe I'll buy a beer this weekend, see if I can go on the show.
Yeah, there you go. Captain Marvel for me was very,
I'm surprised. We'll have to talk about that.
Just also not great.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that.
I'm sorry. I hijacked the box
office. Yeah, you did. We didn't finish our box office update. So the rest of the top five here, we have Detective Pikachu at 24 million, bringing its total to 94.
Yay.
A Dog's Journey in its first week opened to 8 million. I'm pretty sure it's disappointing for them. And then The Hustle in its second week made another 6 million, bringing its total to 23, which I'm assuming is pretty disappointing for them as well.
Yeah.
This coming week, we did mention already, we have Aladdin, Brightburn, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, Ma, and Rocket Man coming out. And I think all of them have their own kind of draw. They're all should be pretty good. Should be a pretty level playing field, I think.
What do you predict for the box office this weekend?
As far as the winner take all? I think Aladdin's going to do it. I mean,
yeah.
Of these movies, that's the biggest one. I think it's enough to really be ahead of John Wick and Avengers. It's a different market.
But so normally I would say, yeah, Aladdin's going to bump John Wick out. But the marketing, there doesn't seem to be as much of it as I would have expected, and it hasn't been well received.
Yeah, it's got some people scratching their heads.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm going to go out on a limb here. Because if I'm wrong, nobody will remember it. I'm going to say John Wick will hold number one and Aladdin will be number two. Then Avengers Endgame, then Godzilla. And then I don't think Brightburn's going to do very well at the box office. But I think then it'll be Detective Pikachu and then Brightburn.
Yeah, I mean, Brightburn's got the whole horror thing going for it. So that may give it a little bump because horror movies do pretty well typically.
And also kind of the superhero thing. Tied in.
But Ma's coming out this weekend too, and that's a horror movie, and that's going to be a pretty big draw, I think, for that kind of movie. But I tend to think Aladdin's going to beat John Wick. I mean, John Wick, if it drops 40-50%, it's down around 32-33.
It is a very safe bet to say Aladdin will beat John Wick, and honestly I think it probably will, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there's a chance that John Wick may pull it off.
I don't think it's a clear winner, but yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
Let's see. Coming up in June, we have Dark Phoenix, which is not getting great reviews so far. Speculations being that being the lowest of the franchise coming out opening weekend. We'll talk about that. Yeah, I'll tell you a story about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Secret Life of Pets 2, Men in Black International, which I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
Shaft, Toy Story 4, and Child's Play.
I am so uninterested in Toy Story 4.
Really?
Words cannot adequately express how uninterested I am. And I love Pixar and I liked the other Toy Story movies and I'm very forgiving of all the Pixar films. Toy Story 4 just.
So what's got this one so marked up for you? I mean, why would you not want to see this?
Well, the marketing has done a horrible job of selling it to me. And the new character. Forky?
You don't like Forky?
Let me count the ways in which I don't like Forky. How much is Avengers Endgame made? Because for every dollar it's made, that is a way in which I do not like Forky.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll see how it does. I mean, I don't know if it's going to do well. I'm sure it will, because Pixar movies just kind of make money. But
yeah. Yeah, it'll
I'm sure it's not going to be my favorite Toy Story movie.
It'll make them a profit.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Men in Black International and also Child's Play, actually, just because Mark Hamill.
I got to say, the Child's Play remake, I still think it legitimately looks good. Now, the movie could suck, but if you're going just based on the marketing material, and this is something I want to talk about in Trailer Breakdown, our new trailer show that is just around the corner. I just got to get the logo finished, and we'll be launching that. But the Child's Play trailers really make it look compelling. I love how they've modernized it.
Yep.
And
going with the smart home things. And relevant. Yeah, I think it's going to be back to being a scary movie again, not just a comedy spoof on horror,
camp of, it's not trying to be another Friday the 13th Nightmare on Elm Street sort of thing. It's trying to be legitimately scary, and it looks like it might succeed. I'm really, really interested in seeing how this does. I would have to say my curiosity level on this one is probably higher than any other movie this summer.
Okay. Interesting.
Not saying it's my favorite. I'm saying that, curiosity.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Let's see. I did not have a chance to update the movie draft or the FML stuff. Although I think you're winning FML this weekend so far.
Well, I'm tied, to be fair.
Oh, are you?
Let me pull it up on my phone here. I'm number one, and I think it probably had to do with the tiebreaker. There's a tiebreaker on Fantasy Movie League where you can take whatever is expected to be the top movie, and there's a slider bar, and you adjust where you think what it'll bring in. I don't remember what I picked for John Wick, because I think it exceeded the expectations, but I think I picked, it doesn't show me in the app. I want to say I picked close to 50.
Okay.
And I think it was projected to bring in like between 35 and 48 or something.
I think I put mine just over 50 actually, because I was thinking it was going to do much better than they were anticipating. And it did. So it was good.
Yeah. So Mitch came in second place. He and I had the same picks. To be fair, okay. We went with the one for John Wick, one for, I think, Endgame. And a lot of Shazam. Shazam was the big winner for this week.
You know, earlier in the weekend, Shazam and John Wick were really neck and neck for best performer.
Yeah.
And I have two screenings of Shazam as well, and that kind of helped put me in third place. But if John Wick got it, it was going to equalize our scores quite a bit. You'd still be in the lead probably, but it would bring us a lot closer together because you wouldn't get those bonuses for having the four Shazams. Because
I had five Shazams. So had lost Perfect Cinema and John Wick would have gotten it, you would have definitely been ahead of me. In fact, the Perfect Cinema, Long Shot was the other movie I picked. So it was John Wick, Endgame, Long Shot, and then five Shazams. The Perfect Cinema was John Wick, Detective Pikachu, and two Long Shot and four Shazams.
So Perfect Cineplex? No, it was John Wick, Endgame, Long Shot, and then five Shazams. Yeah.
Oh, I had it the other way around. The Perfect Cineplex was the one I just read. I was looking at the wrong part of the screen. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, what I picked was John Wick, Detective Pikachu, two Long Shots, and four Shazams. Either way, I don't know. It would have been close if it would have gone to John Wick instead for the Perfect Cinema.
Congrats. What matters is we're both ahead of Tim. So
exactly. That's really what matters at the end of the day. How far down the list is Tim?
He's not that far down. I was hoping for a bigger drop. We got to catch up. We're not quite there. We got to still catch up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm number four overall. It's not too bad.
Yeah, I'm number three overall, but he's got a big lead. He had that one week where he had a Perfect Cineplex and it was just shot him up. I had one earlier in the season too, but it didn't shoot me up as much.
So, here's what you need to remember though, Lou. Tim spends a lot of time crunching these numbers and he'll go back like later in the week and update his stuff. I sit down there and I'll spend between 15 and 30 seconds on it. If that, and I just throw some stuff in there and walk away. So
I might spend a little more time than that, but only about 5 minutes maybe.
Okay. So you're still probably investing less than he is. So if you look at the time spent versus payback ratio, Okay. We are both ahead of Tim.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get into our discussion. We don't have a lot of news this week, but I found a couple interesting little tidbits for us. I think so. Yeah. So first up, we mentioned it in the movies coming up for June. Dark Phoenix is reportedly to be headed for a franchise low opening of all X-Men movies.
Yeah. Now, how is that? Because you saw Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've blocked most of it from my memory, thanks to a lot of therapy, but as more trailers have been released, I've been getting more and more interested in it. At first it looked kind of lame, and now it's like, oh, this might actually have legs. This might be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it hasn't really gotten anything to me to say, I can't wait to go see this.
Right.
I've kind of lost my hope for most X-Men movies.
Yeah.
But the last couple movies have not been that great. I haven't really been like, oh, well, let's go see him. I'll see him on video or something later on. But I don't know. I mean, this says it's in the $50 million range for opening weekend. Wow. X-Men Days of Future Past did 90 in its first 3-day weekend, and Apocalypse did 65.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I mean,
it didn't deserve about 64 of that. Just saying.
Well, I think the marketing looked really good for that, and then it just flopped as a movie. So word of mouth didn't catch on fast enough.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Now, this is the last of the X-Men movies before the whole Disney owning Fox thing, right?
Because this was done prior.
Most of it was done prior.
We've got New Mutants that'll still be coming out.
Oh, okay.
So I think that might affect the box office, actually. I think there are a lot of people who will say, you know, we just got Avengers Endgame and look how great that was. Do I really want to go spend money on something that, you know, it's kind of like reading the last Star Wars Legends book. Once you hear that they're resetting the canon, it's like, this isn't going to matter anymore here in about 5 seconds.
Right. So,
do I want to drop the X number of dollars it's going to cost me for the evening to go watch this? I don't know. I see a lot of people ducking out.
Yeah. It's a shame too, because the movie's, you know,
it looks good. It looks like this is probably what they should have done all along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With rebooting this
looks like
franchise.
You're getting back into the heart of what we're seeing, you know, into a good movie again. I mean, the first ones were pretty good, but they lost their way at some point.
The first one, X-Men, and then X2 United, mm-hmm. I thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
Third one, not so much. And then I thought it kind of went downhill from there. I never liked First Class. I never liked any of the First Class reboot.
That one did not do off me either.
And part of it, I've talked about this before, but the heavy focus on Jennifer Lawrence and the Mystique character, she was just never a prominent character in the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked your character, but
yeah, you know. But it was one of those things where it always pulled me out of the movie because you knew that all of this attention was going to this character because that was the A-list actress they brought in.
Right. Right. It makes it feel forced and artificial.
Right. And when they did that with Halle Berry and Storm in the earlier movies, at least Storm was at one point a team leader for the X-Men, and you could justify that character having all that screen time. But mm-hmm. with Mystique, it didn't feel right. But anyway, right. I don't know. I'm looking forward to them doing something with the mutants going forward. I have always preferred the X-Men over the Avengers. Comic book wise.
Have you? Okay.
In the comics. Now, I shouldn't say always. I was a big Avengers fan when I first got into comics until I discovered the X-Men. But the movies, ugh. I would love to see them reboot this well.
I mean, I think there's more story to be had with X-Men than Avengers overall, even though we have 21 movies, you know, from Marvel. But I mean, I think you're right. I think the X-Men storylines can be deeper, even if you're not familiar with the comics. And I'm not familiar with all of them, but there's so much stuff out there to do and so many characters. I think you can do a really good deal with it. I mean, I don't know. It just really, again, it's one of the things where it's like, these guys can do well with their properties. How come you can't do well with this?
Yeah.
you know, is it just the team making it, or is it just the fact that, you know, good writers? Is it, I don't know, is it the marketing?
Well, it's the good news is the guy that does succeed at all that now has it.
True. True. So maybe we'll get some good stuff out of them pretty soon.
I hope so.
Are you ready for a sparkling Batman?
Listen,
I first heard the story of the weekend. I thought that's a joke, right?
I thought so too.
True.
And I didn't even catch it until like, no, this is pretty much a done deal now. I didn't even know he was in the running.
I heard it as if it was a rumor. I'm like, okay, that's a rumor. It's not going to happen. So what we're talking about is Robert Pattinson, Twilight fame, mm-hmm. getting the nod to be the new Batman. And I mean, I'm not ready for a sparkling Batman. I'm just not ready for that. I just don't, and I don't see him as Batman.
They should title it Batman : Twilight.
Oh boy, that would just piss people off big time.
Well, I mean, they're already kind of doing. I think it, like every fan property now is just nothing about seething hatred, whether it be Star Wars. Or, you know, Marvel's going to go downhill after Endgame. Everything that comes now is going to be, well, you know, it's no Endgame.
Right.
And then Game of Thrones and the petitions. And now it's going to be, well, of course, I mean, we already had this with Batman, with Ben Affleck and Justice League and all that. I got to say, I liked Ben Affleck's Batman. Now, say what you will about the writing, but... Mm-hmm. The character portrayal, I liked Ben Affleck's Batman a lot. And of all of the Batmans we've had, this is Robert Pattinson, maybe better than Val Kilmer.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Val Kilmer's Batman.
He did okay as Bruce Wayne, but not as Batman.
Yeah, maybe, but even so, I didn't like him in either role.
Yeah. Robert Pattinson. Now, to be fair, people say he actually is able to act, and I've not seen a lot of the other stuff he's been in. But I have seen at least one of the Twilight movies. No, Robert Pattinson.
Oh, Robert Pattinson. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I've seen plenty of Val Kilmer movies. I mean, real genius. Come on.
I was going to say, where have you been all this time?
Yeah, no, kids, go ask your parents about real genius. I don't. Oh, I mean, like, is it really, is this the best they can do for Batman? You would be a better Batman, I think.
Do you say Batman or Fat Man? Because
I mean, either I one, I think I'd rather see Fat Man than a Robert Pattinson Batman.
I just don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't see him as the role. He hasn't done anything that gritty that, I mean, nothing about his acting so far has led me to believe that he could pull this off, you know? He might surprise us. Might be okay. You know, fine. I mean, I didn't think we'd get a good Batman out of Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
and we did. I also didn't think we'd get a good Batman out of drawing a blank now. The first one, the first time it was on the big screen back in the '80s.
Oh, oh gosh, now you've got me drawing a blank too.
Mr. Mom, Keaton? What's his name? Michael Keaton. You know, I had no idea he's gonna be a good Batman, and he turned out to be great. But.
I mean, at the time I was excited, but now, like, looking back, it's like Michael Keaton did pretty well as Batman, but like I'm not excited about him as Batman anymore. Like, there have been enough other Batmans that have felt more Batman-y to me.
Right, but if you were to rate them all, he's not at the bottom of the list.
No, not at all.
But we'll see. I mean, I still say that the pinnacle of Batman for me had to be Christian Bale. So, and I'm still a Bale fan when it comes to that character.
Yeah, Bale is closer to the top for me. But I think for me, a lot of it had more to do with the writing, in the stories and stuff from that period. Christian Bale himself, I'm okay with. I think Ben Affleck nailed the character better. It's just the writing wasn't as good.
Okay.
But yeah, I like Christian Bale as well. I'm definitely very much about the modern Batmans and not about the series started by Tim Burton.
Right.
Yeah, like the first one. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying it, that continuity that was introduced, not as much a fan of any of those. And this Robert Pattinson thing, I want to hear, you mentioned Fat Man. Kevin Smith, known for creating the Fat Man on Batman podcast. He is, of course, a very big Batman fan. And he was one of the early supporters of course, he's friends with Ben Affleck, but he was a very big supporter of, you know, dude, listen, I just saw Ben in the costume. You guys are going to freaking love it. And it was true. I loved it. I've started listening to some of his podcasts recently. And Hollywood Babble On and Smodcast and others. And I'm really curious as to what Kevin Smith is going to say about Robert Pattinson being cast as Batman. Like, it's one of those things where normally Kevin Smith tries to be a very positive person. And I like that. It's one of the things I like about listening to him. But every now and then he'll call it like it is. And I'm curious as to what he's going to say about this one.
We will have to stay tuned and listen to that. So.
Yeah.
Now you put a note in here for Mr. Fantastic. I haven't read this yet. So you got to lead this one for us.
This is not news. This is not official. Somehow someone on the internet, as happens on the internet, introduced the idea of John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four as Reed Richards.
Oh, interesting.
And it has been going around the internet virally enough that I wonder if there's not at least some consideration going on for it, but people have been photoshopping mock-ups of him and such. And I'm torn on this because I've never liked the Fantastic Four. I've always loathed the Reed Richards character. I love John Krasinski. Like, if I'm comfortable where I'm at in life, but if I were ever going to bat for the other team, so to speak, you know, John Krasinski, like, he's the guy, right? I love John Krasinski and his work. He's a phenomenal actor. Now we know he's a good director, a good writer. And I don't want to see him sullied by playing the role of Mr. Fantastic. Like, that's, could he pull it off? Absolutely. And it might even be what would make me finally find Reed Richards interesting. But,
well, I mean, if they do the story right, I mean, they could take some liberties and change it for the comics a little bit, make it, you know, palatable for the mass audiences. It'd be good.
And that's the thing, in the right hands.
Yeah.
If,
So just out of curiosity, I was doing a search on this too. And it was, this is back on April 2nd, Screen Rant had a story. And I asked in an interview, John Krasinski told them he would love to star in a reboot of the Fantastic Four. So maybe that's where this all comes from. He says he would love to do it.
I don't know why someone would, like, why would you say, when asked, would you like to be in one of the, in the single biggest movie franchise in history of cinema, why anybody would say, oh, yeah, I guess I'd be okay with that.
Well, I guess here's where it came from.
Would you like to be rich forever? Well, yeah, I guess.
Sure. The question was put to him. It says, Screen Rant asked the question. A lot of our fans at Screen Rant love the superhero stuff. You and Emily have both flirted with this for a little bit. Any chance that you guys would be playing, you could be playing the Invisible Woman in Mr. Fantastic? And John responded, oh, yeah, Fantastic Four, I would love that. And he goes on and says some of the stuff. But that'd be an interesting take. Him and Emily Blunt doing that.
It would be. Listen, if they're going to do the Fantastic Four, I'd rather put him in something. He would have been a good Captain America. I would have taken him as, like, it's hard to see anybody but Chris Evans doing it now. But if they had gone with John Krasinski, I would have been okay with that. I'm trying to think of, is there another character in the Marvel universe that I would rather see him as?
I don't know.
I mean, we haven't done any of the X-Men casting yet.
Right. Right. I mean, he's so versatile now. And it's funny because you thought of him as just this guy from The Office.
Right.
You know, and now it's like, well, he can do that. He can do that. He can do that. It's like, this is awesome. I mean, he's a very versatile actor. I'm loving him in the Jack Ryan series.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to go back and finish that because there's nothing else on Amazon Prime that I watch. So I never open mm-hmm. that app up for anything.
Make a note.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I would be okay with this because it's in the hands of the MCU. And I trust them. And if they got him on for it, I'm sure they would probably do okay with it.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Last story I have in the news here is, have you seen the new trailer for the Batwoman show on CW?
I have not. Okay. I saw this earlier today and I meant to watch it. I'm so far behind. I've not seen her appearances in Arrowverse at all. I'm like a full season behind on all the Arrowverse shows. I've been trying to catch up on Flash, but
I can't remember what show they teased it in, but they did tease her in. Maybe it was
she was in the crossover, right?
Yeah. The crossover with Supergirl and so forth. I went to the future and saw it. It was pretty cool. I mean, I liked it. And yeah. I mean, I think,
I hear good things.
Yeah. I mean, everything they're showing so far looks really good. I mean, the videos is a quick little, video they have trailer out now, some still photos from the production. And I think Ruby Rose is going to do a great job as the Batwoman character. So it'd be a lot of fun.
Now, is this trailer a teaser or is it a trailer?
They're calling it a full trailer. So,
okay. All right. Well, we will have to see what our fans think of it. Maybe they can write in and tell us what their thoughts are. Because like I said, I haven't. I've been holding off on, I'm such a Bat Family fan that I've been specifically holding off on a lot of the Batwoman stuff until I can catch up with the Arrowverse and get to that crossover point.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got time because it's not going to premiere until the fall. So it'll be a fall show on a CW.
Okay. Well, I've got a lot of Arrowverse to catch up with. It's not as much time as you might think.
Come on.
I'm working on it.
Binge through it. Let's see. Reboots and remakes and sequels. There's a trailer out this week for Angel Has Fallen. This is in the
Buffyverse. Is this Angel from the...
No. This is the Morgan Freeman president, and he's the Secret Service guy. Angel was his call sign or his name, I guess.
I've not seen any movie in that franchise.
You know, I haven't either, and they don't look bad. They look like they're something I want to see, but I haven't taken the time to go out and see
I don't
them.
Know why I haven't seen them. They're totally the type of thing that would be on my radar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Olympus Has Fallen was in that same grouping. There's two or three of them, I think, now. Besides this one, and the trailer of this looks pretty good. I mean, I don't know. It's something about Gerard Butler has a thing with me where I'm like, maybe I won't watch it.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with that movie Gamer. He did. Was he Gamer? Is that the one where he was controlled by video game things? Okay. It was horrible.
It was horrible. I'll watch that one then. For me, it was something else that he was in, but I can't remember what. Like I don't have a problem with him. He just never really.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good in some stuff, but for some reason,
wasn't he in 300?
Good question. I don't know.
No, I'm thinking of someone else.
He wasn't 300. Yeah. So
okay. Yeah.
Gerard Butler, what was his? I'm trying to think of what it must have been.
Have a problem with him. I mean, he's
good. Gamer. It was just the thing was the movie was so bad. He was good in it, but the movie was so bad. It's like anything he's attached to now gets tainted because he was associated with that movie for me. It's horrible that I'm doing that, but it's just in my mind. But yeah, so don't go see Gamer, but other stuff Gerard Butler's done has been pretty good. This next one, I almost wanted to put it into What Were They Thinking Weekly, because I just don't know about this, but it is a sequel or a reboot. So Lionsgate and Twisted Pictures are announcing that they are going to be reviving the Saw franchise.
Okay.
The horror movie Saw. Which, all right. The first one was great.
The first one was pretty good really too. Good. And the second one was okay.
And after that, I kind of lost track of them. But
yeah,
the first two were great.
It's good that you lost track of them. Because they were pretty
good. You know, new take on horror or something different. It was like, wow, this is really impressive.
And legitimately kind of scary. Like the first one, I think, was more just psychological, like trying to figure out what was going on. And the second one was a little more traditional horror movie. But even then, like it was legitimately disturbing in the way that you would want a horror movie to be disturbing.
So rebooting a franchise like that would be kind of tough, I think, because the first one was so iconic.
Well, it kind of
spawned its own.
Well, reviving.
Well, yeah, they're saying reviving, I guess, but they also talk about a little bit about rebooting it because, well, the guy coming up with the story concept for this first movie,
yeah,
is Chris Rock.
No, never mind. I'm done. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. Mean, you can contact us at randomchatter at randomchatter.com. Chris Rock?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean,
you're kidding me.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of his comedy.
Please tell me they're going to do the whole thing as an SNL skit.
maybe. Yeah, so it says, you know, the software is being rebooted or reimagined. And one of the stories from Chris Rock says something of a reimagining. Okay, so in a reimagine a really good horror franchise as something different. I'm not sure I get that. When Chris Rock came to us and described in chilling detail his fantastic vision that reimagines and spins off the world of the notorious Jigsaw Killer, we were all in. That was a quote from Joe Drake, chairman of Lionsgate's Motion Picture Group.
Wait, what was the quote again?
When Chris Rock came to us and described in chilling detail his fantastic vision that reimagines and spins off.
But was it chilling because it's Chris Rock spinning off Saw? Or was it chilling because the story was chilling in the way a horror movie should be? Because if it's the former, you don't go forward with it.
He adds, this upcoming film will still be as mind-bending and intense as the previous Saw films. Chris conceives this idea and it will be completely
reinvigorated,
reverential to the legacy of the material while reinvigorating the brand with his wit, creative vision, and passion for this classic horror franchise.
Chris Rock's wit, while I respect it, is not something I ever felt was missing from the Saw franchise. I was never watching any of the Saw movies, especially the more recent ones, which were not all that great and you don't want to pay homage to. I was never sitting there thinking, you know what would really help this movie? If we had Chris Rock's wit. Like, it's never something that I thought was missing from Saw. So,
I mean, I'm not saying that a comedian can't do good horror. Maybe he can. Maybe he's got a twisted mind. I mean, well, look at
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, so I was just thinking of, because he's a comedy guy. And that's what we know him for. And I'm like, he's doing a horror movie? Okay. And it turns out really well, right?
And listen, Chris Rock, I don't want to bash the guy. Like, he is, everybody knows him for being silly and doing, like, just ridiculous characters. But the guy's got some legitimate chops. I mean, he's got some good, my understanding is he's got some good concepts. He's not a bad writer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to bash him. Maybe this will be a great fit, but this is one of those things where if you're going to do it, there needs to be a good reason for it. And it needs to be something that is truly compelling and interesting. Now, to be fair, we have no idea what the concept is. We've seen nothing about the content of what the series is going to be about. So, you know, we can't really sit here and fairly bash it very much. Not that we want to bash it anyway, fairly or otherwise, but just on the surface, it's like you don't hear, hey, they're going to revive the Friday the 13th series and Adam Sandler's going to be the front runner for it. Like, what?
Well, at the end of this article I'm reading from Dark Horizons, it does say that Pete Goldfinger and Josh Stolberg, who penned the original Saw, are writing the script based on Rock's story. So, I mean, that does give me a little more hope.
Okay, so it's a treatment, basically, he came up with. And, okay.
You know, concept story, or, you know, yeah, that could be good, but...
Yeah.
When you put Chris Rock's name with horror, and you're like going, what?
Yeah, it takes you back a minute. And, you know, to be fair, like, I'm the more we're talking about it and I'm thinking about it, it's like, okay, maybe it'll be okay. But there's that initial WTF moment where you're like, huh? And I think that that's fair just because it's outside of what we know him for, but it's unfair to just judge him or the project based on that alone. I mean, a lot of people
right.
go outside of what they're known. We were just talking about John Krasinski. And,
yeah, right.
You know, he was known for The Office, and now he's doing horror movies, and he's doing spy thrillers, and maybe superhero movies. So, you know, we shouldn't bottle Chris Rock up in one thing and say that's Chris Rock. But yeah, it does take you aback at first because what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. I'm looking forward to some more news about it, at least. The new segment of Saw will be released in theaters on October 23rd, 2020. So we have a little bit of time.
Well, that's soon, though. I mean, that's
a year and a half away. Yeah. We'll see. And that's all I got, Eric. So I think we are pretty much wrapped up here. If anybody has any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you guys. If you have any comments on Chris Rock doing the new Saw movie or your views on who the best Batman is, so drop us a line, send us an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find us online on Twitter. We are at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter at Loose Skywalker, at Skywalker without the E. You can find Tim when he's normally with us here on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. Eric, where can they find you on Twitter?
Well, you can't, but if you could, it would be at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And of course you can definitely find me on Discord, though.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about our Discord server, and it's because we talk a lot on our Discord server. There's a lot of conversations going on there. If you haven't already joined, it's free. Please come and join us. Join the conversations going on there. And I think, you know, in the Random Chatter channel, I would like someone to start up a conversation about what they would like, who they would like to see John Krasinski cast as in. I'm wording this question very badly. This is not my most eloquent moment. Which Marvel character would you like John Krasinski cast as? Even that, you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition, but oh well. Who do you want him to be in the Marvel universe? I'd like people to chime in on that. So if you go to randomchatter.com/discord, that will give you a link that'll take you right into the invite for the server. Just download Discord first. It's free for your mobile device or your computer. Doesn't matter. And head over to the Random Chatter channel and chime in. All of the channels for our shows are free. Now, for the people who have donated through Patreon at randomchatter.com/Patreon to help support the network financially, even if it's just a dollar a month, as a way to give something back to those people, we have opened up a whole section of Discord that is more topic-based. So we've got gaming, we've got a whole category of Star Wars channels, we've got a whole category of spoiler channels. You want to talk about tonight's Game of Thrones finale, but you don't want to ruin it for your friends who haven't seen it yet? Hop into our Game of Thrones spoilers channel and talk about it.
I'm not going there.
Yeah?
Not yet, no.
No? It's okay, Lou. I'll spoil it for you personally. You don't even have to go to the
channel. Thanks, Eric.
No problem. Anytime, man. That's what I'm here for. But yeah, seriously, if you want to go talk spoilers and not have to worry about upsetting people who haven't seen something yet, go for it. We've got a episode 9 speculation channel. We've got a lot of good stuff there and a lot of great people. And it's made up by community members like you. So please go and join and participate in that. We would also love it if you would spread the word about the show. And about the network overall, tell your friends about us and leave reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you're getting this podcast from, and retweet us when we've got new episodes coming out. Just, you know, help spread the word, be part of the community. And another way you can do that and spread the word and get something cool out of it too, we now have a merchandise store, randomchatter.com/community. Or you can click on community on the main homepage there and click on shop, and you can get Random Chatter hoodies and coffee mugs and t-shirts and things like that. And we might have some more things coming very soon on that too. So that's another great way you can help support the network. And we really appreciate each and every one of you who have helped support us. One last thing, we have a podcast, Behind the Curtain. We've been on hiatus for the last couple of weeks due to schedules. We are coming back. That is for anybody who donates at It's the $5 or $10 level.
I'd have to check.
I think it's at least the $5 level. Tim normally handles that, but we do a recording once a week where we kind of give you guys an idea of what goes on behind the scenes here at the Random Chatter Network. We've talked about how to start up a podcast in general. We've actually made decisions about the network on the show and give you guys some insight as to how those decision-making processes work. And we've talked about some other topics as well. It's kind of a pretty cool little bonus thing. Most of the episodes are at least a half hour long. Some have been an hour. But that's another little bonus there for our Patreon donors.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of the show. The music you hear on the podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. At this point, we are done, and we'll come back at you guys in about a week. Thanks for listening.
Go see John Wick.
Yes.